dang near all my life, and I'll keep on working.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate you spending some time. Happy Friday from the Mike Broomhead Show. A story that happened going back just, the story actually broke in this regard a couple of weeks ago, I believe. Tom Lewis, T.W. Lewis organization, the company that has built homes and has done so much, and he's been a philanthropist and so much work and donates a lot of money to Arizona State University, pulled funding because some conservative pundits were scheduled to speak at ASU, and the way they were treated and the condemnation has motivated him to speak out. We asked him to join us on the show to talk about this. He joins us now. Mr. Lewis, I appreciate the time.
You bet, Mike. Thanks for having me on, and I look forward to talking to you.
So I want to address what got you to this point. Has there been a number of things that have happened that have been concerning to you, or was it this one issue that pushed you over the top with ASU to speak out so boldly?
Well, it's a long story for me. I've been supporting Barrett and other public universities for over 20 years, and given a lot of scholarships and then expanded the gifts into programs like the Lewis Center for Personal Development. And I really just tried to use, you know, I love universities, I love college students, and I wanted to help them. And I believe that they've been getting some bad advice about life and career. And so as an entrepreneur and a successful businessman, I thought I had some wisdom I could try to put in the classroom and put in the speaker series and bring some outside people into the university system that could give the students better knowledge and broader information. So, but as I've tried to do that over the last 10 years, it's just been a steady beat down of realization that they want your donations, but they don't want your input, and they certainly don't want your influence in the classroom or even in selecting speakers. And it's taken me a while to really realize that, how hostile the faculty has become toward donors. And I know one faculty at Barrett made the comment that this event, or the protest, was not even about Prager and Kirk. It was about a donor trying to influence the speakers. You know, and so they just hate any outside involvement. But it's taken me a while to really realize that this is futile. You know, this is you can just beat your head against the wall so long, and you finally realize that you're not going to knock down the wall. So
can you explain what happened that day, what it was that happened to the students? Because I've heard conflicting reports about the students, the conservative students that showed up to hear these speakers, and how they were treated. Can you explain what happened that day that angered you so much?
Well, you know, Ann Atkinson is our executive director, or was, and she was really on the front line. And she told me in leading up to the event, you know, when it first was announced, you know, 2 weeks or so before the event, it started kind of building, and a lot of the faculty were outright harassing her and saying ugly things to her and sending her nasty emails and things like that. And so she really felt that. And then when she went to the deans, Tara Williams and Christian Herman, they didn't seem to want to get involved. And then she asked for the dean's help to advertise the event, and they kind of stonewalled her on that. She asked for the dean's help to distribute an invitation to the students at Barrett, and they said, "Well, we've got too many invitations right now. We can't do that." And then the deans even asked or talked to Ann. You know, through Ann, I've heard this, that they wanted to make sure these speakers stuck to certain topics, and they didn't want them to wander into politics and a few other areas. I'm not sure exactly. So they really tried to to suppress the free speech. There were faculty members, I'm told, that that intimidated students in the classroom. If they wanted to go to the event, they kind of discouraged them from going. Some of the students that did attend wanted to go on the condition that they would not video the attendees, because they didn't want their teachers to see them at the event, because the teachers, you know, could retaliate against them. So it really just stuck. I was overwhelmed. And that, you know, I've seen this coming. I've all seen this coming in the university. This is not new. But I think it, over the last few years, I think since COVID, the faculty in a lot of universities have just become hostile. And not all of them. I mean, there's at Barrett, you know, there's 75% of them that signed that letter. My guess is some of those people were intimidated into signing that letter and didn't really believe it. But that's the orthodoxy of the left. And they, you know, if you don't agree with them wholeheartedly, they intimidate you into either silence or compliance.
So can I... I'm sorry to interrupt you, but can I ask you, I received an advanced copy of a statement you're putting out. I know you're doing an appearance today, and I don't want to divulge too much of it until you talk publicly. But there is a quote in here from you that I thought was interesting, and it said, "So it seems many of the faculty members think they have this superior freedom that overrides the First Amendment. Where did this right come from, and who has bestowed it on them?" Have you talked with Dr. Crow about this statement, and do you have any kind of a rapport with Dr. Crow after this incident happened?
You know, I have not talked to Dr. Crow since this incident. I didn't really feel like I should call him. I thought he probably would call me. I do know him. I wrote a book that he agreed to provide a positive quotation for. And I, you know, but I've had him in my home at parties and things. And I think he's a wonderful man and a brilliant individual. It just seems that Barrett and ASU has gotten so big that there's a massive bureaucracy down there, and then the faculty kind of gets isolated. But the issue though I'm bringing it up in this letter I'm going to send out today is this issue of academic freedom. If you ask a faculty if you can provide a book or speak to students in a classroom, they will absolutely go nuts because somehow they now believe that that is their private turf. And that, you know, academic freedom has always meant the freedom of an academic to pursue truth in their discipline. So if you're a biologist, you can pursue truth in biology anywhere it leads. But they've expanded that definition like a lot of leftists tend to do. They change the definitions of things, and they've changed the definition of academic freedom to be just totally broad, that they're free to pursue anything, anywhere, anytime. And so Michael Crow has said, well, hey, the faculty has their free speech rights too, and they certainly do. Everybody does. But you can't libel, condemn, and call people names and suppress free speech, because what I also say in the letter, if you look up in the First Amendment, what it says is that there shall be no abridging of the freedom of speech. And the word abridge is a good word that our founding fathers put in here, and it means to diminish, curtail, shorten, or deprive. So, you know, if you intimidate people and try to shorten, curtail, or deprive them of saying anything they want to say, then that's not free speech. And so I think Michael Crow is confused on that. He's saying, yeah, well, we had the event and we let them talk. Yes, but there was a lot of effort to suppress that free speech and to abridge that free speech. So that's what he's missing.
Is there a possibility of a restoration of this relationship with ASU? What would that take? And if not, are you talking with or looking for other colleges where you could donate your money, where you think it would be more suited toward what you're talking about in free speech?
I think it'd be hard to repair the relationship there. It would take a massive overhaul at ASU for me to want to get back involved. I've just had too long of an experience that I've lost trust in ASU to really do what they say they would do. And, that's a long history. I've had two separate gift agreements with them on the Center for Personal Development. And I actually canceled the first one 2 years ago and then came up with a new one right away to just kind of clean it up. But they just don't want donors to be involved. And if I'm going to give them money, I want to be involved, and I want to encourage a message that I think is good for students. And they just don't allow that.
Well, Mr. Lewis, I appreciate the time, and I know that you've been inundated with requests. I appreciate you fulfilling ours and talking to my audience. And as you progress, and if you move to another college, if you do some other giving and some things, I'd love for you to come back and talk about the new program wherever it might be.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate your time, and I hope that that your listeners have better understand our thinking on this.
Yeah, and that's absolutely been the goal. And so Tom Lewis and the donation of about $400,000 a year plus to the university, tough to rebuild that relationship. We appreciate the time today.